Now, we're going to fly through this because I've got far more material than I can get through. But I want to start out with little children. It is the last time, and as you've heard, Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists whereby we know it's the last times. You know, you Google Antichrist, and if you happen to chance upon a very liberal kind of a website, guess what you're going to see? You're going to see George Bush or Donald Trump with the number 666 on it. But if you happen to come upon a Republican or right-wing source, you're going to get Obama with the number 666 or Hillary Clinton. And I find it interesting that if you are leaning to the right, you're going to suggest that Obama or Hillary or Justin Trudeau may be the Antichrist. If you happen to lean on to the left, Donald Trump, George Bush. And it just shows how we have such a misconception of who the Antichrist really is. My favorite one was Britney Spears, that somebody thought she was the Antichrist. So we're going to look at some people who actually have declared that they are another Christ. This is different from last session, which was a different Jesus. This is another Jesus. We begin with the Pope. The Vicar of Christ means one who takes the place of Christ. Remember, Antichrist from two words, another Christos, Messiah. And when the Roman Catholics call the Pope the Vicar of Christ, they are calling him another Christ, an Antichrist. Peter was the first Pope. He took Christ's place on earth. Peter is another Christ. Peter is an Antichrist. Martin Luther says, I feel much freer now that I am certain the Pope is the Antichrist. John Knox, that the Pope should be recognized as the very Antichrist, the son of perdition. John Calvin, I'll briefly show that Paul's words in 2 Thessalonians 2 are not capable of any other interpretation than that which applies to the papacy. John Wesley, and he, the Pope, is too properly styled the son of perdition. The Westminster Confession of Faith, there is no other head of church but the Lord Jesus Christ, nor can the Pope of Rome in any sense be head thereof, but is that Antichrist, that man of sin and the son of perdition that exalts himself in the church against Christ and all that is called God. The Pope is an Antichrist in the fact that he takes the place of Christ. Another example is Lord Maitreyas. This supposedly was taken in Africa. One evangelist, Reinhard Bonnke, made a proclamation that Jesus was going to appear in Nairobi. And this man in white came to Nairobi. And the black lady there is a prophetess who made the announcement that Maitreyas was Jesus manifested in the flesh. From their own website, they call Lord Christ Maitreyas the world teacher and leaders of the Master of Wisdom and their disciples. He is the planetary Christ. I remember first learning about Maitreyas when I was listening to Ideas with Lister Sinclair on CBC. It was one of those Chinook nights. You know, when you have that arch, and one side you see the light and the other side dark, and you know, it looked like the end of the world. And I turned on my radio and I heard, "Christ is here, my friend. The Avatar has come." My arms, all went up, all my hairs stood on end. Here's when was in Kenya, Nairobi, Kenya. 6,000 people saw him as Jesus Christ. Here is what Lester Sinclair says: "I am the Prince of Peace. I am the Sword Bearer. I am in your hearts. I love. I am your friend. I am the guide. I'm the lawgiver. I call you as helpers. I take you by the hand to the source. I shall live among you." Benjamin Crane, who is the medium through which Lord Maitreya speaks, said once his manifestation was in the form of a snake, and I was so frightened I thought it was the end of the world. This I took when I was walking down White Avenue in Edmonton. His posters are all over Maitreya, the Lord, the world teacher, is here. Maitreya is the name of the Buddhist Christ. Bahá'u'lláh, this is the Baha'is. Listen to what the Baha'i, what their followers said. "The earth is but one country and mankind its citizens. A one world government." They're one of the key proponents of that. Bahá'u'lláh claimed not only to be the Spirit of Truth, but also Jesus Christ come again. The return of Christ and his glory has been fulfilled. His new name in this day is Bahá'u'lláh. One of the things they teach is the earth is but one country and mankind its citizens. That's from the world's great peace. That all nations should become one faith and all men as brothers, that the bonds of affection and unity between the sons of men should be strengthened, the diversity of religion should cease, and differences of races be annulled. What harm is there in this? Yet it shall be. These fruitless strives, these ruinous wars shall pass away, and the most great peace shall come. Great peace in capital letters. One of the fundamental objections of the Baha'i faith is establishment of world peace within the framework of united, spiritually enlightened New World Order. Prejudice is the greatest barrier to world peace. Its most threatening forms are racism, nationalism. And who do you think they mean by religious fanaticism? Jim Jones. Remember the Guyana town, the Guyana massacre. He openly said that he was Jesus Christ. On numerous occasions, when I was in the congregation, he told us, "I am God, and there is no other God." He and his followers would all die together and move to another planet for a life of bliss. Mass suicides were practiced. He was so influential, he was able to get all his followers to commit suicide. David Koresh, the Waco Tribune Herald, the sinful Messiah. He said, "If the Bible is true, then I am the Messiah." He had already begun to give the message of his own Christhood, proclaiming he was the Son of God, the Lamb who could open the seven seals. He said the switch arose from his belief that he was now head of the biblical house of David. He changed his name to Koresh, which is a transliteration of King Cyrus. The last letter that he had, he says, I offer you my sealed secrets. How dare you turn away my invitations of mercy? Who are you fighting against? The law is mine, the truth is mine. I am your God, and you will bow under my feet. I am your life and your death. My hand made heaven and earth. My hand shall also bring it to an end. You have a chance to learn of my salvation. Do not find yourself fighting against me. Please listen and show mercy and learn of the marriage of the Lamb. Why will you be lost? And the letter was signed, Yahweh Koresh. The coming of the 12th Iman, the Mahdi. Mr. Ahmadinejad no longer is the prime minister of Iran, but he was driven with his devotion to the hidden Iman, the Messiah-like figure of Shiite Islam. Iran's dominant 12 sects believe that he will be Muhammad ibn Hassan, regarded as the 12th Iman, the righteous descendant of the Prophet Muhammad. He's said to have gone into occlusion in the 9th century at the age of 5. His return will be preceded by cosmic chaos, war, and bloodshed. After a cataclysmic confrontation with evil and darkness, the Mahdi will lead the world into an era of universal peace. Iran believes it is doing God's will by dragging the world into the Battle of Armageddon. Because that's the only time when the 12th Iman will come. But now, I want to also take a look at the false Jewish messiahs. Because the false Messiah will deceive Israel into signing the 7-year peace treaty. I put this picture in because the Chabad, the very most orthodox of the Jews, openly profess the Rabbi Schneerson is the Messiah. So Jesus warned, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. I thought it was, since Jesus said that the Jewish people will receive another false Messiah, that it would be good to take a look at the false messiahs within Judaism, to get some idea of what the real Satan's false Messiah is going to be like. There's been a lot of Jewish false messiahs. Remember, Antichrist means another Christ, Messiah. They've been followed by a multitude of Jews. Most of these false messiahs were involved in Kabbalah, which is Jewish mysticism. I personally believe the future Antichrist will be a student of Kabbalah. What is Kabbalah? Well, Kabbalah is a form of Jewish mysticism. It is based on what's called emulations. To make it in a very simple way of explaining it, what Kabbalah teaches is God is holy and pure. And he cannot come in contact with his creation, lest he also be corrupted. So what God did was he separated a part of himself from himself. Illustration sometimes explained this way. If you picture me as God, I cut off my right arm. Now my right arm is separated from my body. Now I cut off my hand. And now my hand is separated from my arm, which is separated from my body. Then I cut off my finger. Now my finger is separated from my hand, which is separated from my arm, which is separated from my body. And then I cut off the very tip of my fingernail. And that very tip of the fingernail is what I did to create the world. Only my fingernail was corrupted. The rest of me was not touched by the creation. And what Kabbalah teaches is, what if the Jewish people practice Jewish mysticism, they can cause God's emulations to come back together again and form the one body. When that happens, Mashiach, Messiah, comes. Here is the joy of Yiddish. The Kabbalists held the reason alone could never penetrate the exalted mystical experience involved in their perception of God and His mysteries. Esoteric formulas, numerological acrobats, theological mumbo-jumbo went into the Kabbalist efforts to apprehend God. Elaborate number manipulations and abracadabras attended every conceivable interpretation of the passages from the Torah and the names of the prophets. That's from the Joy of Yiddish. This is what the Kabbalists will teach you. If you were to go to enroll in a Kabbalah school, they'll tell you you cannot learn Kabbalah until you're 33 years old. Or no, 30 years old, I guess. The student must be at least 30 years old before he can experience the mysteries of Kabbalah. There were four second century rabbis who meditated on the palaces of God. The first rabbi went insane. The second rabbi died. The third rabbi became an apostate. Only one rabbi survived, and his name was Rabbi Akiva. According to the Kabbalists, Rabbi Akiva was unable to unlock the secrets that have been hidden in the Bible since the time of Moses. Torah science says this idea is expressed in Midrash, which teaches us that when Moses received the Torah, he waited while God tied the crowns to letters of the Torah. Moses asked God about these crowns, and God showed him how Rabbi Akiva was destined to explain these crowns in the future. So in other words, there was something missing in Moses' understanding of the Bible. Some hidden keys. And for 2,000 years, the Jewish rabbis, Jewish leaders tried to unlock these. They couldn't do it until a Rabbi Akiva came along. And he was the one who wrote, unlocked the Kabbalah. He is the one who declared that Bar Kokhba was the Messiah. Now, when he died, now that's a problem. Bar Kokhba was not the Messiah. It means the son of the star. Bar Kokhba, when he died, he tried to rebel against Rome. Hundreds of thousands of Jewish people died under the hands of the Roman armies. Rabbi Akiva died. And what the followers of Kabbalah say is a lie. Now watch, there's going to be some names that come over. We're going to go through this very fast. But Elijah the prophet came and took the remains of Rabbi Akiva. You're going to find Elijah showing up over and over and over again. And what the followers say is Rabbi Akiva is really not dead. You're going to find this amongst the followers of some of the Jewish false messiahs, that their leader really didn't die. Bar Kokhba, this is how he died. He was crushed by serpents. I think that is significant because serpent is a symbol of Satan. He was not, Rabbi Akiva was not the Messiah. He was a false Messiah. The disciple of Rabbi Akiva was Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, 145 AD. He's the leading disciple of Rabbi Akiva. He wrote the basic work of the Kabbalah. It says that Yochai got his instructions from angels. We've got to be very careful whenever anyone gets instructions from angels. The New Testament says, if any man preach any other gospel, even if he be an angel from God, let him be accursed. So he is getting revelation from angels, and these angels revealed the profound divine meaning hidden in the seemingly clear word of God. That's from the Histories of the Jews, Solomon Gazelle. He called it the Zohar, which means divine light. What is interesting is the History of the Jews, Solomon Gazelle said, whoever was the actual author, he profoundly influenced modern Jewish life, for the Zohar became the Bible of the Kabbalist. In Simeon, its traditional inspire was counted above the greatest prophets. Divine honors were paid to him. And it was suggested Simeon was meant in the biblical verse, all men are to appear before the Lord. They deified Rabbi Yochai. Well, by their fruits you shall know them. They sat naked in the desert until they were visited by the prophet Elijah. If you got a prophet sitting naked in the desert for 12 years, you know what I call him? A cuckoo nut. Actually, I don't call him. Sabra calls him a cuckoo nut. He's sitting naked in the desert. And then he gets a visit by Elijah. This man was crazy. But here's what happened. Many miracles occurred when Rabbi Simeon and his son were in the cave until Elijah the prophet came. The Bible says, the Gentiles seek after wisdom, but the Jews after signs and wonders. And we're going to see that in these false Jewish messiahs, that they're associated with miracles. Moses of Crete is one of my favorite. The Jewish people of Crete had determined that the end of time had to occur between 440 and 490 BC or AD. And about this time, a man called Moses of Crete shows up. He did a few signs and miracles, and he told the Jewish community that you need to follow me. I'm going to take you back to the Holy Land. We are going to walk not across the Red Sea or the Reed Sea. We are going to walk across the Mediterranean Sea. Jump into the waters of the Mediterranean Sea. The sea will split, and I will lead you back into the promised land. Well, the people jumped into the sea, but the sea didn't split. And sadly, many Jewish people drowned. Rabbi or Moses of Crete just sort of disappeared out of history. What happened was many of the Christians on that island rescued the foolish Jewish people who followed this false Messiah. They rescued them, and in mass, the Jewish population of Crete converted to Christianity. And there were no Jewish people on Crete for several centuries because they had been deceived by Moses of Crete. Next one is David Elroy. Elroy's father claimed that he was Elijah. There we have Elijah again. He was learned in Jewish mysticism, which is another word for Kabbalah, and he was able to perform supernatural acts. What time do I have until? Two 45? Okay, I got it. Okay, I should be able to get through this. He had studied everything from Arabic literature to magic. Using the Kabbalah technique, he used the way of the divine name. Supposedly, Elroy was able to figure out what the name of God was. When God appeared before Moses, he said, "I am that I am. Thus you shall tell the children of Israel, I am that has sent you to them." That name was too holy to be pronounced by the Jewish people. They still do not pronounce it to this day, because they assume that there is some kind of magic or power associated with the name of God itself. You ever get a chance to go to Prague, Czechoslovakia? My favorite restaurant is the Golem restaurant, and the story of the Golem. There was a rabbi in Prague who was involved in Kabbalah. And during one of the times when there was tremendous anti-Semitism and Jewish people were being murdered in Prague, the Jewish people came to the rabbi and said, "Do something." There was a secret compartment in his synagogue in which there was a lump of clay. He took out the lump of clay, he pronounced God's name over it, and he produced what is called the Golem, a human being without a soul or a spirit. You could not kill Golem. He pointed him to the Gentile area. The Gentile, he killed and maimed and destroyed the Gentile part of Prague. But Golem wasn't very smart. When he finished killing off all the Gentiles, he went into the Jewish quarters. He started killing and ripping, and people all came to the rabbi. He said, "Rabbi, do something." And if you see the old movie, there is the rabbi standing face to face with Golem. And he pronounces the name of God, and God and Golem simply collapses into a lump of clay, put back into the synagogue to be used for another day. But that story really happened. I don't think any historian would say that really happened. But it's a parable to teach the Jewish people the danger of taking God's name in vain. The rabbi pronounced God's name and he was able to create life. Supposedly, David Elroy found the name of God and began to pronounce that name, and that is why he was able to perform miracles. He went to the Sultan of Turkey, Ottoman Empire probably back then, and they locked him up. But as the Jewish almanac says, what are bars of a prison to a Messiah? According to Elroy, using his miraculous powers, he escaped the Sultan's prison. Another time, when he was confronted by the Sultan's army, he suddenly disappeared. And then he reappeared again, dividing the water with his cloak. He crossed the river. Sounds like Elijah, doesn't it? He told his followers that the Messianic kingdom was about to be established, and he got them all to sit upon their tops, rooftops, where angels would come along and fly him back to Jerusalem. You probably thought it was just the Christians who were cuckoo nuts, stood up on top of the houses waiting for the coming of the Messiah. No, the followers of Elroy did the same thing. He was assassinated by his father-in-law for 10,000 crowns. Abraham ben Samuel Adulafia. He had a personal interview with God where God told him, I have appointed you the Messiah. And after he had had this talk with God, he really felt that he had had the oil of anointing. Spiritually, he had been anointed with oil. So he knew that he was the Messiah because of his spiritual experience. The LearnKabbalah.com says he is the most important figure in the prophetic Kabbalah. And he was able to unlock the secrets of the Bible using word combinations, numerical computations. He had the gift of prophecy. His followers said he performed all sorts of signs and wonders. Once when meditating in the combination of the letters of the 72 name of God, letter name of God, trembling overcame him and he fell on the floor overcome with terror. Trembled, fell flat on the floor. That sounds familiar too, doesn't it? He went to Rome to try to convert Pope Nicholas. They put him in jail, but he was able to get out with what they called double talk. Some kind of magical speaking. He was rejected by the Jewish community, but sadly there were many Christians who accepted him as their Messiah. Isaac Luria. Study of the Zohar and Kabbalah. He had supernatural powers, his followers said. Elijah appeared to his father and said, this is the Messiah. We've heard that before, haven't we? Elijah announcing that Isaac Luria is the Messiah. During this time, he would experience many strange voices, ecstatic visions, and visited by Elijah. Strange voices, ecstatic visions, extra mystical revelations from God. He went to Saved, where in his ascetic way of life brought on trances and visions. And he would go and make regular pilgrimages to the tombs of dead rabbis and pray. It's called necromancy. He was trying to get messages from the dead. Luria taught that good souls in heaven could be brought down to inhabit the bodies of men. He saw spirits everywhere. This is reincarnation. He had talks with past figures of the Bible to modern sages, various respected rabbis. This is necromancy. He visited cemetery. He was able to perform exorcisms and miracles. He believed in the transmigration of souls, that souls went from one body to another to another. It's sort of like, this reminds me of me. He immersed himself in the development of a new kind of Kabbalah whereby divine order of the world could be brought about. His system was so complicated, though, that he later complained that no one could really understand it. So I feel in good company here. Nobody can understand what I'm saying. Nobody could understand what he was saying. He unlocked all the secrets, but no one could understand. Just before he died, he said, "Woe to us who are unworthy. I saw the Messiah was about to appear in Jerusalem, and if we had come, all the world would have been redeemed." A few days later, Luria died, victim of an epidemic at the age of 38. His followers began to call him holy and divine. His disciple was Chaim Vital. He was well educated in the Torah, that's the Bible, mysticism, study of alchemy. And he was really frustrated until he found the secrets of Luria Kabbalah. He would conjure up the spirits of deceased rabbis. Once again, necromancy. Getting information from the departed dead, which the Bible condemns. He would go to the graves, and using mystical cantillations, he would be able to conjure up the spirits from other worlds. A heavenly voice came out to Isaac Luria and said, "You will find a certain scholar whose name is Rabbi Chaim Vital. May God guard and deliver him." And so a heavenly voice told Luria, "This is the Messiah." What Chaim Vital said, God would redeem Israel when he found 10 righteous people, but he never succeeded. He was looking for 10 righteous people to join him. That should remind you of something. Does not the Antichrist have 10 people standing behind him? Here's another one of 10 great and perfect men joined Vital. He would bring in the final redemption. And Shabbatasvi. He was born on the 9th of Av. And amongst Kabbalists, they believe that the Messiah will be born on the 9th of Av, which is the commemoration of the temple being destroyed in 586 BC by Nebuchadnezzar, in 70 AD by Titus, destroyed on the same day. The 9th of Av or the 9th of August, you want to make it Gentile time. He followed the Luraic Kabbalah. He was a textbook case of manic depressive. Shifted between profound depression and manical elation. He was a nut. He had sexual problems. His sexual problems influenced his messianic ministry. He tried to reverse the laws governing sexual morality, nudity, and forbidden relations. Tried to change what God had written about sexual immorality. He pronounced God's unpronounceable name of God in the synagogue and caused the Jewish community quite a stir. He performed a marriage ceremony with the Torah, which once again caused a stir in the Jewish community. He tried to publicly dismiss the Ten Commandments and tried to celebrate Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles in the same week. Interesting, the Antichrist was set about to change the laws and the seasons. He had miraculous power. That was the rumor. And so you have Nathan of Gaza, who the Lord told him he was Elijah. Because you need Elijah before the Messiah. One night, Nathan fell into a trance, and he announced that he was the Messiah, and he rode into Jerusalem on a white horse. What was the reaction of his followers? Mass hysteria, visions, and prophecy. People danced in wild exaltation, hysterical women prophesied. Nathan drafted a letter telling Shabbatai's power to redeem all mass hysteria, visions, prophecies. Nathan said he was the reincarnation of the prophet Elijah. He met a woman. Her name was Sarah. Her parents had been killed in a Polish pogrom, but she was visited by her dead father, who told her she was going to marry the Messiah. She had a reputation for being unchaste. We'd probably call her a prostitute today. Well, no problem. Had not the prophet Hosea taken Gomer to his heart, and there was not an ancient tradition that the Messiah would have an unchaste woman as a bride? The false Messiah will have an unchaste woman. Revelation 17, Babylon. When he made the announcement, 1,200 children of 10 and 12 were hastily married off so their unborn souls could be united with their bodies at the resurrection. Had all his followers have their children getting married. What happened? Women or people laid naked in the snow, starved in penance, and indulged themselves in orgy of sexuality to fulfill Shabbatai's commandments. In the year 1666, he went to Turkey proclaiming that he was the King of Kings. He converted to Islam. His people believed, his followers believed he was transported to heaven. He never died. Next one is Jacob Franks, study of the Zohar, secret Sabbatean sect. He was a follower of the followers of Sabbatai Zvi. He believed that each Messiah was an incarnation of the others. He was noted for indulging in every kind of sexual immorality. He got kicked out of the synagogue because of certain practices which involved naked women on the altar of the synagogue. He got kicked out. No problem. He became a priest in a Roman Catholic church. And he stayed there until he declared that he was the second person of the Trinity. Then he was excommunicated out of Poland to Germany. They arrested him in Germany. He went into the prison, and the prison became a brothel with people coming in to visit him. Rabbi Schneerson, his father, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, a Kabbalist, his followers said, there is no doubt the Rebbe is the Mashiach. They wanted to anoint the Rebbe as Mashiach. They were going to pour oil on him. They called out King Messiah forever and ever. Orthodox Jews began to call the Lubavitch a cult. He died, but many of his followers are convinced that the rabbi is still the Messiah. Some of them say he has not died at all. And what their followers have gone so far, and this is from Haaretz Israel, the Israeli national newspaper from Tel Aviv. This is what their followers are saying. The Rebbe was not created. The Rebbe always has been around and always will be. Look, what you need to do is start with God and work your way up to the Rebbe. When pressed, they suggest there is really no difference between him and God. None have a problem praying to Schneerson, using his books for divination in place of the Bible. Even among those interviewed as moderates, a Rebbe is often substituted for God. In normal conversation, speaking of the remarks with comments such, may the Rebbe help you, or the Rebbe is watching over us. As one person says, yes, but it's more complex than that. There is no clear place where the Rebbe ends and God begins. Does that mean the Rebbe is infinite, omnipotent, and omniscient? The Rebbe is God, but he's also physical. There's some interesting observations. You probably have seen, for those of you who are familiar with Bible prophecy, you probably have seen some interesting parallels. The immorality, the Antichrist is a man of sin. The coming of Elijah that is going to be the false prophet. The involvement in mysticism, the praying to the dead. And the fact that if you read the history, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Jewish followers of these false messiahs died. Because they were deceived by these Jewish messiahs. I believe as you study these rabbis, you will begin to get an understanding of what the Antichrist is going to be like and why the Jewish people will be seduced by Satan's counterfeit messiah. We will look at a little bit more in the last session.